My name is Joan, and I am 42 years old, and today is 11/26/2018, and I'm speaking with Ned, who is my brother. We are recording this interview in Missoula, Montana. Can you tell me one of your happier memories?
With you?
Much later. You don't have to have me in it this time. I mean, you can.
Remember when we went to Disneyland?
Which one?
Disneyland. When we camped next to the park.
Yeah.
And met...
Sven?
No. Hans.
Hans, okay.
I remember him. Come on, Hans and Franz.
It was like that, wasn't it? He was humongous.
He was huge.
I remember when he put his hand up next to Dad's when he was on the map, and it was like twice as big as his. I was like, "Woo, the big guy."
He was tall too.
Yeah.
And real broad.
Yes, he was, and young and very fit. I remember him in his Speedo when we went to the beach.
I don't remember that.
Oh yes. He came swimming with us, and he was European, so he wore a Speedo instead of the long shorts that most Americans wear. He was very fit.
And how old were you?
I don't know. I think I was about 13. So you must have been 11 or 10.
Was it arousing?
I don't remember that. I just remember being like, wow, that's a body. You know, like you could see all of it. I don't think, you know, we're Americans. We don't get to see that very often. At least, you know, we didn't. But, so that was your favorite memory? What about that?
No, I was just, again, with the favorites.
I mean, what was your happier memory? It was one of your happier memories.
See, the thing about favorites that I hate is, like, then you spend all your time, like, ranking. And ranking, so this way I can just be like, hey, remember that? That was really great.
What was it about it that was great?
Well, you know, like, I enjoyed camping. That was fun.
Next to the highway? With all the RVs, and we were the only tents.
Yeah. That was fun.
Why did you think that was fun?
It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
And, because we met Hans, and we met I seem to remember there was some other family or a couple or someone that we hobnobbed with a little bit.
Well, there were two other, there was a pair of young women that joined, like, later in the trip.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they were American, I think. Hans started hanging out with them more.
Shocker.
I know. But that was after he came to Disneyland with us and to the beach and stuff. That was pretty funny that we kind of adopted him.
Yeah, it was great. Made me happy.
Yeah. You remember, like, what did you remember thinking about it at the time?
I mean, you know, at a certain point, like, if you're young enough, you don't really think about things as, you just sort of roll with things.
Yeah.
Just kind of rolled with it, but I thought it was weird that we kept, like, I thought we were being weird to keep inviting him to things, but he was always so happy to go that in the end I was very happy to do it.
You had pie?
Uh-huh.
What kind did you have?
Oh, no, I just had the cranberry sauce.
Oh, cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I'm interviewing Ned. You want to hear what he says?
What?
I'm interviewing Ned now.
Excuse me, can I listen?
Oh, that's up. Yeah.
I'm going to go get something. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Can I turn the question back now?
Okay.
Can you tell me about your favorite, happiest?
My happiest memory.
Happiest memory. Yeah, it has to be your happiest. Happier.
One of the happier ones?
No, happier than the one you're thinking of.
The one that I'm thinking of?
It's got to be happier than that.
They all kind of revolve around traveling, don't they? I don't know if that's just because they're poignant or...
memorable.
Memorable, yeah.
No, I have a lot of happy memories about traveling.
Yeah. I guess I remember some of my happier memories were when it rained in Grand Junction. Those were also poignant times because mm-hmm. it didn't happen very often. But I remember one time it was storming, like really storming with thunder and lightning, and it was close, and the storm was like right over our house. And Dad was like, come on, let's go. I mean, we ran out to the tree, remember? Mm-hmm. That fort that we had with the tin mm-hmm. roof, and we sat under that and listened to the rain. That was nuts. We could have been killed. Or at least lightning could have struck it, I guess. It would have been...
Yeah.
Meh. But it was just nuts. I remember being, like, just enthralled. Just enthralled with that. And us being together. That was fun.
Wait, is it okay if I stay?
Yeah. Then you have to answer questions, though.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I thought I'd just listen. Correct me when you're wrong.
No. Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
Oh, gosh.
I know, right? It's easy to do.
How about happier? Happier just a happy memory.
Tell me one of your happier memories.
Whew, so many.
This is Judy X, though, my mother.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
How old are you?
I'm 73.
And you're 39?
39 for a couple more months.
Okay.
Yep. You know, how far back do we need to, should I go?
It's up to you. I know. It could be this week. I mean,
this is the problem with happiness.
I guess really one of the highlights of my life was when the four of us went to Europe on that crazy trip.
That was pretty insane. Yeah.
And all of the wonderful things we discovered. It was pretty special. I still relate back to it a lot.
It kind of built our family for a little bit there, didn't it?
Well, it put you as navigator, which was really smart. You know, Dad and I still have that problem. Hasn't been solved yet.
Well, now you have, you know, Siri and stuff. Just blame mm-hmm. it on them. Well, I mean, I felt like it was a time that we kind of solidified as a family as we were older. Like, as Ned and I were growing older.
Yeah.
Into young adults.
You were young adults then.
Well, no, Ned was, you were only like 11, right? 12?
No.
How old was I? How old were
you? I was going into... No, I guess I was going into 8th grade after Australia, wasn't I?
Yeah.
So I was going into 6th grade.
Yeah, you were small. You were about 10 or 11. Because no, I was going...
That's 12.
That's 12.
12 or 13. 6th grade.
6th grade, okay.
That
was
12.
So that put
you
12.
At
16.
I was
16,
yeah.
No, you wouldn't have been 16.
I was turning 16 that summer. Yeah. Because I wasn't driving yet.
So that I would have been 2.5 years younger than that.
Yeah.
So I would have been 13.
Okay.
And a half.
Is that half important to you?
I'm just saying. That's how the math works.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys were preteen and teen. Yeah, definitely. We wouldn't have gone if you were much younger because...
Yeah, actually...
It's kind of intense in some places.
Actually, I take that back. When we went to Australia, it was between 8th grade and 9th grade, right?
Yeah, because I was going into my senior year.
So, and I was going into my freshman year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So then it was between 6th grade and 7th grade that we went to Europe.
And I was going into my freshman year.
Sophomore.
Okay. Right? I don't remember. Probably.
Did you we were going do it? Into your sophomore year, and then there was a year, and then
and
you
then
went
I
to
left.
Australia.
Is that how it worked? Okay. Anyway. Yeah, that was a crazy time.
That Europe trip was really special.
I'd like to do it with my family.
Me too, and I worry that I'll never be able to.
Well, we'll just have to all work together to make it happen.
I know a way.
I kind of had a like a flip in my brain at some point where I was like, oh, like I might never, if I, you know, follow this job that is like passion and ideals, then I might never have the financial like wherewithal to like bring a family of four to Europe. just like as a trip. But then I was like, well, you know, so I like had to like sort of shift and be like, okay, well then how could I make that happen for work? Mm-hmm. Like, how could I get paid to go to Europe and bring my family?
Yeah.
Just do a workshop.
Yeah. So I have to build up a big enough following that, you know, you could, that could happen. I mean, it's not impossible. You know, I was just,
I've often thought it'd be fun to be a guide in some of these art museums. You could set up a company where, in the United States initially, where you would take high school kids, freshmen, college kids, art students, and bring them to certain art museums and look through, and, you know, in depth, look at what's available to see and to explore. So I remember my very first experience in a real art museum was in New York when I was a sophomore in college. And I was a nursing student convention. And so I went to the Guggenheim because I'd heard about it, thought it'd be fun. And that's when I encountered one of the masters, and like you've heard this story before, and the reaction I had was so strange that it had no foundation for it. I had never studied art. I had never known anything much. I did know that that was a master, so I must have known something. But the reaction I had to it was totally illogical and emotional, and mm-hmm. I thought, what is going on, and what is this experience I'm having? So then it piqued my curiosity about the whole idea of how people view art, what it means to them. So it would be fun to open up that whole avenue with young kids as a guide. You know, I would have loved to have somebody standing next to me talking to me about what was going on and why and who I was looking at. I don't even remember who I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been neat. Anyway.
But then maybe it would have been a resolved thing instead of something that you wanted to learn more about.
True.
Never know.
Never know.
Well, if Gus is any, I mean, I tried to do that. I tried to expose Gus a little bit this summer. We went to Washington, D.C. together for a week.
Yeah.
And I brought him to the National Gallery, and we went and looked at a few things. And he definitely had his interest piqued. And it was, but it was also overwhelming. Like, he was uncomfortable with it. And he wanted to leave.
With what?
I think the amount was one thing. And the enormity of, like, I said, let's just go see one thing. So what did I take him to see?
This is at the National Gallery, you said?
Mm-hmm. So we went to go see, oh shoot, what was it?
Turner? I think he's there.
No, it was
a portrait? The National Portrait Gallery or just the National Gallery?
Just the National Gallery. I don't even remember. It was something that was on special, it was like a, you know, special exhibit there.
Uh-huh. Drowning exhibit.
And it was just overwhelming for him. Like, he just kind of felt it was. And then we tried to go see Andy Warhol. I said, oh, maybe you like him. And I got this docent, you know, one of the people there. I was like, hey, if you could see one person here, would it be Andy Warhol? You know, nodding my head. And he was like, yeah, that'd be the one guy I'd go see. He was very helpful. So we went and found some Andy Warhol pieces.
Interesting. It's fun that you tried that.
But yeah, he didn't even get all the way there. Like, we got to some other place and he saw this sculpture of a clarinet, and it was like, you know, 100 times the size of a clarinet, you know, and it was really abstract, and he wanted to touch it. And I was like, you can't touch the sculptures. And he got really mad at me. So I wouldn't let him touch it. He's like, not me. That's the rule. Sorry. This is a gallery. Because he's used to the sculptures outside, you know, at downtown or whatever. So he got really upset and then kind of shut down. We went elsewhere.
He's young. He really
is.
Yeah. Although he's the same age as you were when I brought him on down. And when I think of that, my heart just breaks. And you survived. You're okay.
No, that was a good experience for me.
That's good.
What do you remember about it?
I remember a lot of things about it. I remember, you know, I remember being very lonely. I remember having, you know, the whole candy thing and the appendicitis scare. I remember eating bagels with cream cheese and strawberry jam every morning. I remember standing up on the zip line and riding that down into the lake. Now, that was really scary. I've had dreams about that, actually.
About being scared of that?
No, about like being on in a similar sort of situation.
Yeah.
Like on a zip line kind of situation, and then I'd wake up and be like, "Oh yeah, that's like totally from Mom Dam." I remember dropping a turtle and breaking its shell on accident.
Oh.
Yeah. It was like a turtle I was holding in the animal like place, and I dropped it on the concrete. I remember its little silent screaming face.
Oh!
I remember.
That's terrible. Poor turtle.
Yeah, I totally broke it. Like, yeah, broke its spine, right? Because that's right there on that shell. Brutal.
What happened to it, you know?
The adult or pseudo adult who was, like, at
counselors.
That. Who was there, like, took it from me, or I think they actually picked it up. I don't think I picked it up even. Maybe I picked it up. And I don't know. I walked away. It was like one of those things where you don't feel like emotional overwhelm and you just walk away.
Was there any crying or anything?
No, I wasn't crying or anything. I honestly was still processing. It wasn't until later that I realized I probably killed that animal.
Yeah.
But I knew I'd heard it.
Yeah, that was pretty poignant, actually. Very poignant. Mm-hmm. For a 10-year-old.
I remember. Yeah, like walking down the road. It was very green. Walking down the road away from there and like kind of looking back. And yeah, I think the counselor there was trying to figure out how to put a turtle out of its misery, I guess, or what it should do, what they should do about it. I'm sure that was also a very scarring moment for that guy.
Highlight for that
guy. That guy, that woman, yeah.
Yeah, those counselors were something else, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my counselor, George, who...
George, I remember
who,
him.
Who, at night for read aloud would read us Firestarter by Stephen King. That was our book on our way to bed.
Appropriate for 10-year-olds, yeah.
It was the book he was reading, and we asked him to read aloud.
And he was like, sure, no problem.
And so he's like, okay. So I remember the scene where they pull out all the fingernails, like where the husband comes home with the daughter, you know, and like the government or whatever agency has been there and has tortured the wife. Trying to find out where the daughter was, you know, and had pulled out all of her fingernails and, like, stuffed a rag in her mouth, and she was dead.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And he read that, too.
Yeah.
I liked George up until the very moment.
Well, my counselor related her rape story.
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
No kidding?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a tale, like a, you know, watch out. You know, you're 12, you know, this might happen to you. But she talked about when she had gotten raped while she was traveling by herself through country somewhere. She stopped at a rest area and some guy jumped her with a knife and raped her. And she talked about that. And
how old was she? She was traveling by herself, so she must have been...
I mean, she was in her early 20s.
These were college students.
Right.
The counselors were college students.
So... She gave us that, like, harrowing tale to, like, remember.
Exactly, yeah. I guess she wanted to protect you in her own strange way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was... And she didn't tell it in a scary way. She taught it in a very... she told it in a very resilient way of, like...
Actually, I remember your costume. I liked it. She also was pretty... She was pretty together, I thought.
Yeah. No, I think she was trying to tell us that, you know, this is what you can survive. Like, or, you know, this happens.
And also,
beware. Be aware, this happens, but also, like, I'm here, and I survived, and I'm okay, and,
yeah.
You know, I think that was an important story to hear, and I don't know that would have happened otherwise, you know? We didn't talk about rape a lot when I was a kid.
Did it affect you heavily at the time?
I mean, I remember it. I remember being pretty scared. you know, and, you know, as, you know, as a young adult myself, driving through countrysides, I remembered it pretty well.
And so, that was the whole point.
Yeah, I was, there was definitely a number of, I remember Dad saying, you know, things like, well, if you get tired, just stop and take a rest, and being like, no.
Right.
I think I'll just go get some more coffee.
Rest here, rest here, rest here.
I think I'll just go get some
red
more
flag,
coffee.
Red
Thank
flag.
You very much. So, but yeah, no, it was, that was pretty poignant. But I also remember being exposed to people from other countries. Like, there was a girl from Belgium, and one of our cabin mates was from Mexico City, and like, I don't remember the girl's name from Mexico City, but I remember thinking of that, like, you know, you're not what I think of when I think of Mexico, you know, because she was a, you know, high class kind of.
More cosmopolitan than you.
For sure. And like, and also she was white, you know. I didn't think of Mexico as white. But she, you know, she's very white. And so that was kind of interesting too. So.
I remember getting ticks.
Yeesh, yeah. Oh yeah, I got leeches. I got bit by leeches.
Leeches?
Yuck.
Oh, leeches?
Yeah. Ugh. That was so disgusting.
Yeah.
Where was that? In the lake?
Yeah, in the creeks. In the lake.
Creeks. You remember getting what? Bit?
Ticks.
Oh, ticks.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got so many, you got into a nest.
Yeah, that hornets.
Hornets.
Oh, yeah. I remember Mom telling you about that and me just aching for you.
And then, and also, like, and I remember our, like, little, you know, they would take each group out for, like, a camp out. And I remember just it on ours, it like rained the whole time. And we all just like the three or four, you know, of us in our little tent just being like all homesick and sad little kids. Wallowing in the rain.
Was George with you?
Not in the tent, no. I remember on the hike to get there, it was a beautiful hike, really pretty, and we came to this some place where there was like, you know, like sort of rocks, and I made some joke about like, you know, goodbye, cruel world, and like jumped off a rock and just kind of like, you know, like kind of crashed down, like, you know, and like hearing the counselor being like, Ned, and then like, you know, stood up.
Your first laugh straight up.
You know, because it's
probably
like. Probably
telling
know.
That very story right now. I remember that story.
That's funny.
Yeah, lots of memories from that place. Oh, yeah, I remember, you know, you'd go to the campfire thing every, like, week. There'd be a campfire sing-along, and some people who, like, did things would get, like, a paddle.
Yeah.
With, like, a stencil, or then you could stencil it later. You'd get a paddle. And I, like, just kept not getting a paddle. Because I wasn't really doing anything. I don't know how I spent my days.
I was in the craft shop a lot, I remember.
Like, you know, like, I kind of got into it towards the very end, right?
Yeah.
Towards the end of our time there is when I got more excited about the doing things and, like, you know. But, like, yeah, it's a little bit like, what did I do all the time? And just, like, wandered around. Like, what was I doing?
Huh. I remember really enjoying canoeing. I enjoyed that a lot. I remember being on the canoe. We actually, the trip that my cabin took was on a canoe. We canoed out and we went out to a different island or something, a different part of the forest. And I remember that was being.
It was so pretty.
That was really fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And learning how to paddle a canoe and steer it and how to dump your canoe and get back in and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of good stuff to learn.
Yeah. But you know, As you know, valuable that I have no inclination of sending either Gus or Bella to a camp like that.
There's two to go.
you know, and I have friends who do. I mean, I have friends who do have those plans of, like, they have a camp that they went to when they were young, and they're going to send their kids there, you know. And I just don't, I don't have that inclination.
It depends on their needs and where they want to go.
Yeah. I'd much rather us do it all together, you know, like us all go on Grand Canyon hike or something like that.
Hi, Manuel.
Hi, Ren.
But, you know, I mean, I can tell you, like, sometimes it's really hard, but it's also, like, you know, good.
Well, yeah, I know. You know, the whole reason I did it. Do you know why I did it? Because we didn't have any trees in our backyard, and I couldn't stand the thought of going through another Colorado summer of heat, 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 and no shade, and two kids, and what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And that's when my sister had moved to the camp.
Pie, please. How has your life been different than how you imagined it would be when you were young?
Well, I often wondered why I was so eager to leave my home base. But I seemed to sense that from early on that that was going to be what I was going to do. I was not going to stay in Louisiana. And so I sought out differences. And so I, you know, was certainly not anything like it would have been if I had lived in the South and raised kids in New Orleans or Savannah or Charleston. So,
But you didn't necessarily, growing up, you didn't think about...
Well, I didn't, you know, you're introduced to a life, and you see people living a life, and you think, well, maybe that's how I'm going to live my life, you know. You watch people and what they do, and somehow or other, I didn't, I guess I imagine I might do that, but somehow or other, I needed something different. I don't know why. So when I had the chance, I left the area. And of course, as you know, circumstances such, you meet people, and before you know it, you're not going back, and you stay in another part of the world. And it does make it, part of the States, and it does make a difference how you're going to live your life. I would have been, you know, it'd been a lot more provincial in Louisiana, or even any of the southern states. It would. The expectations are different, and so getting out of that mold for some reason or other, I saw a need to do that. So I guess my imagining let me out rather than kept me there. I said, I can imagine that I'll try something new and different, and I did. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Did it have anything to do with the civil rights movement at that time?
Oh, yes, big time. I, as I look back, at the time, I was so uncomfortable with the whole black-white thing because I didn't understand it, because I was raised to love the blacks the same way I loved them all the same, so what's the problem here? And so it was so uncomfortable to see that there was a problem, that I just didn't want to stay. I wanted out of there. It was just not much fun. And I never felt a need to get involved. I was scared to get involved, to tell you the truth. I didn't want to. I was not a very courageous person as far as, you know, going in sit-ins and all that stuff. I was worried. That scared me.
It was scary. People got killed.
Yeah, so I just decided to leave it. And that's when I went to Europe, actually, so I even left the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Big time. And the Vietnam War. I mean, that's... You guys have your issues. I think every generation has their issues. We just watched Good Morning Vietnam the other night, and I forgot how poignant it was. And then that whole Vietnam thing came back. And it's...
Hi, Ren.
Hi, Ren. He's so cute. So, kind of running away from that, even leaving the class, and then going into London and seeing graffiti on the walls that say "Go home, Yank," and learning about all that. Wow, that was a big deal.
Yeah. How about you, Ned? How has your life been different than how you imagined it when you were young?
I don't think my imaginings were ever very concrete. In some ways.
Well, yeah, but how are they different from?
You know, when, I mean, I still remember, like, you know, talking with Josh, and being like, yeah, like I'll probably, like, I'll be an artist and I'll teach art. Like that was kind of, we both had that game plan.
Yeah. Here you are, huh?
I think mostly because, in particular, because we didn't know any artists who were just professional artists. We only knew art teachers, right?
Yeah.
But it was like, okay. But it was like, okay, so that's how that looks. That's what that looks like. So I had that dream from a fairly young age. It wasn't one that I held on to really, like firmly.
And yet, here you are.
But I mean,
you never expressed it verbally.
I did to Josh. I mean, it wasn't something though where I was so certain of it. You talk to, you know, you hear some people talk about how they're so certain of that they're gonna be a doctor or an artist or a president or whatever, and just like have a clear goal in mind. I was mm-hmm. never like that. I could always entertain alternatives pretty mm-hmm. easily. Mm-hmm. Still can. So.
That's probably pretty healthy, though.
Well, you know, it's a good question.
Yeah.
We live in a culture of too many choices, right? Like, that's, and that was part of our growing up, too, was like, you could be whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do think I was optimistic about my success. And still somewhat am, but I'm more realistic now. Like, that was kind of part of the times in a way that I feel like is changing. Is, you know, this sort of expectation that things would keep getting better.
Mm-hmm.
That the next generation would have it better than the previous generation. More wealth.
Mm-hmm.
More stability, more opportunities. That would just keep going on and on and on. And so, yeah, so I guess I had a certain, you know, degree of entitlement around feeling like, oh yeah, like, I'll be reasonably wealthy. I'll be reasonably successful.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's funny. Well, to me, because I didn't think of it in those terms, I thought of it in terms of like, well, I guess I don't know, but I didn't think of it in terms of wealth and stability. I guess I thought of it in terms of like what I saw around me too, you know, like equality and I guess those things are changing still, like it's still in those terms, things are changing.
What is the question again?
How has your life been different than how you imagined it would be when you were young?
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, God, I don't know how my life is anything like I imagined, like I was.
Yeah, what did you imagine?
I didn't think I'd ever have children when I was young. I never thought that I would be in a small place like Grand Junction when I was young. I didn't know if I'd be married. I thought maybe I'd have like partners that were long term, but I never thought I'd be married. I
so
didn't see myself.
You envisioned yourself as
a very lonely
individual urbanite.
Yeah, I thought of myself, you know, that I would like be living somewhere where I had lots of opportunity for lots of different kinds of culture and music and career, and I'd be taking advantage of those, and that I didn't see myself as a teacher in a small town with two children, and something that wasn't part of, so I don't, you know. And I didn't see that, you know. I didn't know that that would be a choice for me. I didn't know if that would be something I'd want to, that would be a choice. I guess I didn't know that that would happen.
Wait, that you would choose it?
That it would even be an option. I didn't know that that would happen.
Did she meet someone that she could have a family with, that she eventually, because of job opportunities, moved back to a small town? All of that didn't seem like possibilities at all.
Yeah, I didn't think that there would be a job that I'd want to do in Grand Junction. I didn't think that there would be, I didn't think that I would be able to brave being a mom.
That you'd what?
That I could brave being a mom. That like being, I was always afraid of being a mom. I'm still afraid of being a mom. It's still very scary.
Me too. Same here.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd have enough courage to try it. But you know, there you are. Opportunity. So that I can't think of anything that when I was, as I imagined myself, I'm not anything like I thought I would be. But okay. Tell me a favorite memory of me.
Ooh, cookie.
That's to you. You have to tell yourself
no.
a favorite memory about yourself.
No, you tell me a favorite memory of me.
Favorite, huh?
Favoriter. A fun one.
Mama,
you have to go see if you ate your turkey. Auntie Emily's gonna help.
She ate a lot, but not all of them.
Okay, go check it out.
Mama, can we have some ice cream?
Yeah.
This is the last part.
Yep, we only have 8 minutes left.
You remember being in Ireland? Or England?
With your class?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad talking about how he wanted to have grade requirements associated with tuition.
Mm-hmm.
And that you were upset about that. And you guys had a heated discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of on the sidelines, being like, oh, what? I don't know. Okay.
I remember it well.
That's one of my favorite memories.
Really?
Why?
Watching
her cry?
Watching me fight Dad?
Watching her stick up for herself?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, because... Because
you want me to leave?
it was you standing up for what was fair and with greater understanding and foresight of the situation than I had. And I benefited. Like, you were my champion. I was the saved one.
Because when you went to school, you struggled academically? Like when you went to college? Or not that I didn't, but...
Yeah, totally.
It kind of turned around after that. You didn't stick
with it. Well, no.
Because of that interaction.
He was going to, though.
I mean, you know, even that year in high school, I struggled.
Yeah.
Like, but, I mean, you know, it was just inspiring. And,
oh, that's
and
nice.
Like I say, it really changed my life, that exchange, and you as I say, standing up for what you thought was fair, to the point of being like, you know, you were like, no, then, like, I just won't
go to school,
do this
yeah.
game.
She said that, so I just
like,
want to go back to school.
Yeah, I'll figure out a way to, like, pay tuition
oh, yeah,
somewhere
so
else. Like, I'm not going to take your money with, I'm not gonna, yeah, this isn't gonna be a game that I have to play. It's either a gift or it's not.
Yeah, I was pretty adamant about that.
And I'm willing to face the repercussions of that. And, you know.
That was pretty brave.
I meant it. I was pretty angry.
It was obvious that you meant it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all, as a parent, I can totally look back on that and be like, maybe that was an important thing to try to do, you know?
I don't know where it came from, and it wasn't anything we had discussed.
Well, one of my major problems was that I was getting A's and B's. Like, I didn't know what his issue was. I had gotten one C, and then he went off the grid. And I was like, you know what? You're going to have to do better than that.
Well, it was compounded by me. I was getting... It was actually... I was...
You weren't in college yet?
No, I was in
you were
in high
senior,
school.
Yeah.
But I had dropped out of AP Chem.
Oh.
I had failed out.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't going to cut it at a certain point. Well, I might have been able to turn the boat, but it would have been like intense and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I opted out. And so like my senior high school year was one not of, you know, of academic grandeur, right? I can't remember if there was another class I was struggling in. I think it was just AP Chem. AP Chem was the first class that I had to work in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's a skill, right?
I mean, it's kind of pathetic that my first class was senior year.
Yeah.
That I, you know, that was even potentially beyond my means, right?
See, I had to work through high school. I had classes that were hard for me.
I had some classes that were hardish. But
not like AP Chem.
But not like AP Chem.
I didn't have the opportunity to take AP Chem.
And not like classes once I got to Grinnell.
Yeah.
Which was compounded by, you know, depression. But
yeah.
Also,
when was that?
Freshman year, I was intensely depressed. But
that was part of what I was going through too.
But I mean, like,
why didn't you guys reach out to us?
We were far away.
And also, you don't necessarily know what to do with yourself. You don't know, you know, like. Diagnosing yourself as depressed requires some experience of what depression is,
yeah,
and what the diagnosis looks like.
It's true.
What some of the symptoms are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was probably, that was like kind of my first deep depression. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Do you have any idea what was the trigger? Or it was just
I was
just a...
Life doesn't go as you expect it to?
Yeah. Yeah, what do you call those those points where you move on to the next level?
Yeah.
That was
a transition.
Well, yeah, there's another word for it, but anyway. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it was, yeah, I was in a completely different place. I was alone, had no friends or support network.
Well, that's what freshman year is, you're right.
Yeah,
it's big.
And compounded with, I had some terrible classes and terrible teachers. And, and I was not successful academically, which, you know, was part of my...
Changed his whole self
identity.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you struggled with math, and then we got a letter.
Yeah, no, I failed calculus.
And then we somehow or other got a tutor or something, and then you got through it and passed
it
next. What happened?
I had to retake it.
Right, you retook it, but you got a tutor.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
it seems to me that Grinnell was helping you as much as they could, more so than any other college. Is that feeling was left with? Was that wrong?
I mean, I think yeah, there was some support there, but.
I mean, they didn't want you to fail. They wanted to help you make it.
True.
But you guys have just 45 seconds to tell your favorite memory of me.
I'm laughing because
you
my favorite memory of you, when I need to smile, I think about it sometimes, is when we were living together in the apartment on Argyle.
Uh-huh. Is this where the shower farted or something like that?
And we were sitting in the living room and you're on the couch. And this huge fart. He nonchalantly looked at the lamp and said, huh.
As a lamp?
As a lamp. So it's not so deep.
So my favorite. You still does that, right, Emily?
Yeah.